Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
Well, as we come around the message tonight, you know, none of us like to be inconvenienced. And there are industries whose aim it is to make sure people are not inconvenienced. The travel and hospitality industry aim to make sure things are convenient as possible for their clients. But life will present inconveniences. A life lived without suffering inconvenience is not good for us, because there are lessons to be learned during these inconveniences. Right now, lockdown is very inconvenient. Plans had to be postponed or cancelled. Sadly, people in hospitals cannot receive visitors. People planning weddings and conferences will say this is very inconvenient right now. Well, this lockdown feels like we are in a desert season. And you know, in a desert, things don't grow or flourish. It is dry and exhausting. It is uncertain. It is lonely. It's quiet and desolate. Some businesses are not flourishing. It may have dried up. Some marriages may not be flourishing. Things may be dry. But we can have rivers of living water from the inside of us, as it says in John chapter 7. And I believe that if we hang in there, if we take the hand of God our Father, He will help us find a way out of the desert. And never forget, there are oases in the desert. You know, in 1992, we were asked to move up to Sandton from our hometown, Cape Town, and run the church we are still pastoring today. It was very inconvenient. My mother's health was failing. Our son Adrian was in high school and had just started a new year. And Simi had just settled into a nursery school with new friends. Besides, we were beginning to see growth in the church we were running, and moving up to a place away from the sea and Table Mountain was inconvenient. It felt like a wilderness to us in a way, as we were away from family and friends and what we had become comfortable with. But we had no idea how in the will of God we were. And there were many lessons to learn. It was very difficult for our entire family. We encountered our ACs along the way, though, and we discovered that our desert was bordering on our promised land. You see, God is always working on our behalf, even behind the scenes where we can't fully see, in that place where we see no way out, in that struggle where we see no solution, in that problem where we have no answer. Lay every care and worry before Him, because He cares for us. And trust Him. He has a plan. He is our way maker. We read these words from God's mouth and heart in Isaiah 43 verse 19. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It is already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land. Yes, God will make a way, but there are lessons for us to learn right now in this season. Yes, He is our way maker. I want to speak tonight on lessons from the desert. You know, Pastor Andre once said, every wilderness is necessary, but every wilderness is temporary. Every wilderness is tough, but every wilderness is productive. The wilderness can be a place of encounter. In the Word, we see that Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and the children of Israel, Elijah, David, John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul all found themselves in difficult times in the desert or wilderness. But God did not forsake them in the desert. They came out better, and we too can come out better. You know, God is closer than we know in the desert. I want to touch on some of those desert experiences. And the first lesson that we will learn in the desert is God uses the desert to humble us. When we look at the children of Israel, we see that God invested 40 years in developing their humility and obedience. Humility is important to God. I believe that today, just like the time in the wilderness with the children of Israel, God wants us to put him in his rightful place, on the throne where he belongs, above all other gods and distractions. And we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8 from verses 1 to 5, God is speaking to Moses, and he's saying to Moses, these are the things I want you to tell my people. Carefully obey every command I give you today. Then you will live and grow in number, and you will enter and take the land the Lord promised your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God has led you in the desert for these 40 years, taking away your pride and testing you, because he wanted to know what was in your heart. He wanted to know if you would obey his commands. He took away your pride when he let you get hungry, and then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever seen. This was to teach you. It's like teaching us lessons here, that a person does not live by eating only bread, but by everything the Lord says. During these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell. Know in your heart that the Lord your God corrects you as a parent corrects a child. I believe we are being humbled. The world is being humbled. The church is being humbled. Lack always humbles us. We see from this verse that God was humbling his people and testing them, but he also provided for them. We are being reminded that we cannot just live on our own daily bread, our needs, what we want, but everything that God commands and says. That is what is important to God. The lesson we can learn as God is humbling us is that we recognize once again who God is, and we recognize again who we are. We also recognize that we will always be in need of him. And I love what Charles Spurgeon wrote. He said, we never outgrow Christ, but we grow to need him more and more. The second lesson we learn is the secret of thanksgiving in the desert. We don't thank God for the desert, but we thank him in the desert. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Perhaps we need to learn again to count our blessings and in everything to give thanks. The desert can either teach us to be thankful or to be bitter. Look at your situation right now and find at least 5 things to be grateful for. Sadly, Israel became experts at grumbling rather than thanksgiving, and God hated grumbling and even punished them for their grumbling and their complaining. And I believe that is a lesson for us today in this situation we find ourselves in. When we are always focusing on what God has not done instead of on all the good things God has done for us, it destroys our trust in God to take care of us for the future. In fact, it destroys our relationship with God. The soul that gives thanks can find comfort in everything. The soul that complains can find comfort in nothing. The lesson we can learn in the desert regarding gratefulness and thankfulness is that it is the will of God for our lives to give thanks always, to have that attitude of gratitude. The third lesson God wants us to learn in the desert is that God wants us to worship him in the desert. So we read in Exodus chapter 7 verse 16, again, God is speaking to Moses and through Moses, and this time Moses is speaking to Pharaoh. Then he said to him, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert." It is very clear from the word that worship and giving goes hand in hand. They came out of Egypt with treasures, and it was meant for building the tabernacle where they worshiped God. Praises to God is a sacrifice, and so is giving of our substance to Him. So let's continue to worship God in the desert right now. Don't wait until we're back at church and now you are worshiping. Don't wait until you are back at church and now we are giving. You know, worship and giving shows your gratitude for God's house and God's plan for man on the earth. King David, when he was in the wilderness of Judea, wrote Psalm 63, a beautiful psalm, because true worshipers are not put off by the desert experiences. Worship never gets old for a true worshiper. Those who worship God in spirit and in truth, those are the kind of people God is looking for. And the fourth lesson this evening, the desert is where God brings us back to Himself. Perhaps you have drifted away from God at this time. I believe God wants to speak to us about our relationship with Him. We see in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, again, God is speaking to His people. And you know, the people of Israel is a metaphor and is symbolic of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the words God spoke to her. He says, "Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her." The desert is where God wants to win back our hearts, and He wants to speak tenderly to us. Allure is a very strong word. God wants to charm us, so to speak, and romance us even in the desert. God wants to lovingly draw us back to His heart and His bosom. And we need to realize the depth of God's love for us. Tenderly, the Lord is reminding us that He is the lover of our souls. Now, King Solomon paints a beautiful picture of a bride coming out of the desert, leaning on her lover. And we read from Song of Songs, the book of love, chapter 8, verse 5. And he is saying, "Who is this coming up from the desert, leaning on her lover?" Well, that is the picture God wants to see of us, leaning on Him, coming out of this desert. And I trust that I've encouraged you tonight as we come to a close. You know, we read about how Jesus too went into the desert for 40 days, and He was tempted by the devil. He was tempted to give up on God, but every time He said, "It is written." He quoted the word of God, and Jesus clearly prioritized God. We read from Luke chapter 4, verse 14, from the Amplified. Then Jesus went back full and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of Him spread through the whole region round about. So we can move out of this desert stronger, more purpose-driven, and full of the Holy Spirit, or we can come out weakened, empty, depleted, or even worse, away from God. And I believe that as we come to this moment in the service where I know that God wants people to respond, and I'm extending an invitation to you to respond, I believe this is what God is saying. He says, "I will allure you and I will speak tenderly to you. I want you," says the Lord. I don't believe God is there to take a stick and whack us and be harsh and mean and horrible. He's actually saying, I love you so much. I am willing to overlook the things that you have done that has not pleased me. I'm willing to take you into my bosom. I'm willing to tenderly love you. I'm willing to speak words of encouragement to you. And maybe tonight you need to say, I need to do that. I need to allow God. Why not open your heart to the Lord tonight? Why not make him the Lord of your life? If you've moved away from him, why not come back to him? His arms are open wide. His arms are open wide, like that prodigal son's father who extended his arms to him, even ran towards him. And if you're a prodigal daughter of the living God tonight, I believe God is saying, tonight is the night, today is the day to return to your father. And even if you've never had this opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and this is the first time you are hearing about this, and you're saying to yourself, I would like to make Jesus the Lord of my life, then I invite you to pray these words with me. Lord Jesus, I see how far away I am from you. I want to take the path you have prepared for me out of the place I find myself right now. Forgive me for the wrong things I have done. Please come into my heart and be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.